The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We have a full panel. And right now on the line, I'm going to introduce him, Congressman Scott Perry. How are you, sir?
I'm awesome, Kathy. Happy summer. How are you?
I am doing well. You feel some of my energy?
I do feel the, yeah, you can't help but feel the energy.
I know. Wake up. Wake up.
Right.
We got stuff to do. And my, oh my, are y'all doing it? Are you tired yet of winning?
No, we can't get enough of the winning. Although I did tell the president at some point, it might be too much winning too fast. Like the American people just aren't used to it.
We're not. It's like whiplash, like boom, boom, boom. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. What you guys are doing. You're showing the American people. It's like a juxtaposed position of what you have with Republicans in office, all the winning or all the losing and wars, wars and rumors of wars when Democrats were in office.
No doubt. Look, I think what you're seeing right now with the president and obviously Vladimir Putin, world leader Zelensky, you know, the president set the table for about 9 months. Just think about it, Kathy. Was the United States prepared to try and make a deal with Vladimir Putin back in January after 4 years of Joe Biden? He knew we were weak. He knew we weren't prepared. President Trump has spent the last nine months setting the table, getting everything right, making America strong, putting us in a public position of power,
right,
and then bringing Putin to the table. And if anybody can do this, it's going to be President Trump right now to make the best deal that we can with it. Let's face it, a poor hand, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to send our boys and girls to war. Thank you for your service, ma'am. You serve, but we don't want to send our boys and girls to war in Ukraine. Putin knows this. So what are our options, right? Ukraine can't handle it. It's a war of attrition. And so President Trump is making the best of a weak hand.
Right.
I don't know that we're going to love a deal, but here's what we are going to love. We're going to love not having people being murdered and just wholesale homicide in Ukraine on either side of that battle line, territory being gobbled up, and the instability that comes with that. And so I think that, it's going to take a little time here. We'll see what happens. But if President Trump can be successful at this, look at Iran, look at Azerbaijan,
yep.
look at what he's doing with
Pakistan,
China right now.
Look India.
Exactly. I mean, you can't really think of a more consequential president in such a short amount of time in your lifetime, for sure.
I mean, praise the Lord, right? I mean, come on. This has been a masterclass over the past 8 months of what it looks like when you actually have people in office who are, one, not stupid, two, not morally compromised, and three, actually love this country and want to see the people of this country do well.
That's exactly right. And look, you said it best in the beginning. There is a difference between Republicans and Democrats. No party is perfect.
Right.
However, we're talking about, and you know this, Kathy, you were in the arena, the difference between normal and just absolutely crazy. you got normal on our side. Do we make some mistakes? Absolutely. Do we get everything right? Not always. But, we have the country's best interest in mind, and we're trying to lead as responsible adults. And then you've got the other side full of a bunch of activists. They're not even competent. They're just activists who want to use the power of government to impose their will on all of America, including sending your daughter into the locker room where some guy's in there changing,
and
they
happening.
Think that's somehow normal.
It ain't happening.
It ain't happening. It's right. That's right.
Not on my watch. My running theme, and I've warned my entire family, if I have to feel uncomfortable, I'm going to make sure they feel uncomfortable too. I'm not having that. That's not going to happen under my watch. But at the same time, you know, it almost felt like I was being set up to fail, because a man is not going to walk into the locker room with my daughter. A boy is not going to go out there and compete on the track and steal her opportunity without me interjecting myself. But now at that point, I'm going to be, you know, hold off in court or sued or something. I just felt like under the past 4 years, I was being set up to fail. And I think most Americans felt that way, whether it was with the transgender issue or with the being forced to take a jab if you didn't want to take the jab. Just a whole host of things.
That's exactly right. And again, it was the difference between normal and crazy. And you couldn't even have a conversation about it before you were banished, or worse. Like you said, you were sued, you were hauled off to jail just for trying to have the conversation. You know, as a parent, you have the responsibility, you have the legal responsibility to take care of your child. And yet they're telling you, oh, yeah, it's okay. And you're going to have to put up with sending your young daughter into some locker room where some dude in there taking a shower.
It's not happening.
I don't think so.
It's just not happening. Right. But talk about crazy things. And I know you have to go. Thank you so much, Congressman, for coming. I know I told you guys you're listening to Congressman Scott Perry. He is Pennsylvania's own U.S. Congressman representing our 10th congressional district. So, sir, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us. But talk about, you know, crazy things that make sense, things that don't make sense. I just found out, you know, Laura Loomer and I, we text a little bit back and forth.
Right.
And I mean,
She's tough.
You
out there,
whether you like her or not, it doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, right? But she put a big spotlight on what most of us had no idea was happening, because we're looking at our own streets right now. We got Minnesota up there looking like, you know, Pakistan. I don't know. It just looks like it's not America. You got these massive marches, 40,000 people in New York, you know, flying every flag except for America flag. We saw what was going on out there in Los Angeles when Donald Trump tried to send ICE in there. And it's just a lot of agitators, a lot of people who, a lot of them looked as though they were not from this country originally, and they're waving the flags of the countries they fled from. And, you know, and a lot of us are looking at this saying the last thing we want are to fly or bring in more agitators. And yet Laura Loomer, doing what she does best, put a spotlight that, in fact, in 2005, in 2025 alone, we've issued over 3,800 visas to those holding Palestinian Authority travel documents. So we've been flying, right? So we see what's going on over there. We saw what Hamas did, and Hamas are Palestinians, but we saw what Hamas did over there in Israel. And it just really floored me when I found out that we are actually bringing Palestinians over into our country under a variety of reasons, medical, just because harm's away, who knows. That is just crazy to me.
Well, I tell you, Kathy, we're Americans and we all want to help. We understand there are disadvantaged people all around the globe. We want to do our part. There's no country more generous with immigration, or quite honestly, anything else, whether it's health care, whether it's just regular aid and assistance. No country more generous than the United States of America. That having been said, we've got our own problems to solve here, and we don't need to bring anybody in that is aligned with a terrorist nation or a terrorist organization. Now, the other thing is that, you know, the president's been in office about 8 months now, and you know, it takes a while to root out the deep state and those that are working there. You know, the president tried in his first term. You know, you think you're the president, you're the leader of the executive branch, the one that executes these laws. And so these the personnel that work for you should be under your charge. And but he found out quickly he doesn't have the ability to fire these people, to get them out. And, you know, while he's doing stuff trying to save the free world, they're in there doing whatever they're doing. And it's hard to find them. And sometimes it takes a while. And then even after you do, there's not a whole lot you can do about it as the president of the United States. He tried to change that under a thing called Schedule F. And, you know, I know he continues to work on it. So does the Secretary of State. It's not going to happen overnight, Kathy, but it is of concern. And I think we need to look into it for sure.
And that was my thought when I heard this. My first thought was the tentacles of the deep state runs deeper than most of us ever imagined. Because I know Secretary of State Marco Rubio did not give the green light to such lunacy, which then begs the question, well, who's doing it? A bunch of rogue bureaucrats? Because it certainly isn't the Trump administration, those closest to the president. And I was just thinking to myself, I mean, the deep state, the tentacles of this thing run so deep. Let me get your perspective before I let you go. What's most under threat in Washington, D.C. right now? Where do you see the deepest risk to the American people as these institutions reach further and further?
I think it's twofold. I think it is our freedoms are in jeopardy, our liberty, and the fact that should be that the American people are running their government. It's our choice by our leaders what's happening. That's number one. Number two is this just continual overwhelming debt, this overspending that every Democrat votes for, and unfortunately a handful of Republicans. We continue to bankrupt our country. It continues to keep inflation high, which hurts every single person, especially the one at the bottom of the economic ladder. And then, again, we think this is our government, and we keep on finding out that bureaucrats, unelected people, are actually running the show, and we don't really get a say. These elections sometimes seem like they're for show, and we want them to be for real.
Well, you know what? I agree, but I'm so very grateful, Congressman, that you are there. The threat is real. We have to stay very vigilant. I think we're going to take a break right now, right? Congressman, thank you so much for calling in. Guys, listen, politics isn't just about policy. I think we all know that by now, right? It's about optics as well. And right now, the world is watching, or at least they were watching yesterday, to something as simple as a suit jacket. I got Jack Posobiec. Woo! Coming up on the other side. Jack, hang on. I see you there, my brother. I see y'all on the other side.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your girl, Kathy Barnett, sitting in for my double good girlfriend, who is your girlfriend as well, Dawn Stensland, on the Dawn Stensland Show. If you want to call in, I would love for you to chime in on what we're talking about today. That number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. And here is Jack Posobiec. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Kathy, how are you? It's always great to be back home on WPHT 1210 AM, The Big Talker.
I love it, Jack. Let me tell you, you are my go-to person on Twitter. I have been spending less and less time on Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter. But when I do peek my head back onto the app, I go to you because I feel like you're going to be you're less in the grips of the algorithms, and you may not always say what the algorithms are wanting you to say. And I appreciate that. So thank you so much for being on.
Well, hey, Kathy, thank you so much. And yeah, when it comes to Twitter, it's all me. You know, I just kind of put out what I'm thinking, or, you know, if I'm involved in something. And, you know, I've been at the White House. I've been up in Alaska this last Friday with the president and the president of Russia being there. So I just kind of try to give people a glimpse behind the scenes as best I can. And a real shout out to the White House for providing me that opportunity and just being as transparent as that.
I love that. Guys, this is Jack Posobiec. You can find him out there on Twitter all the time, him and his beautiful wife. Jack is the senior editor at Human Events. He's a veteran, a Navy intel. Were you an officer, Jack?
Navy intel officer. That's right.
Yes, a Navy intel officer and a New York Times bestselling author. So seeing that you were up there in Alaska, what was your takeaway from all of that?
Well, you know, the Alaska situation, I think, was really seminal because here was a situation where in the midst of 3.5 years of war, no U.S. president or no world leader has really taken the time to simply sit down and talk with the Russians. And it's definitely something that's risky. It's definitely something that there was a lot of skepticism about, I think, from both sides.
Right.
But President Trump is exactly that. He's willing to take those big risks. And in doing so, that's how he gets the big rewards.
I mean, because like, what's the alternative? The past 4 years of Biden, where they would not sit down with Putin, and now we have millions of lives on both sides of that war that have been lost, hundreds of millions of American dollars and weaponry, and now even talks at one point of sending our soldiers, our boys and girls over to Europe to fight a war that was started by this. I mean, so that's the juxtaposed position. That's the alternative. You can either sit down and have a conversation with a major world leader, or you can just call him a thug, call him all other kinds of ad hominems, and just get deeper and deeper entrenched in this war.
Well, that's exactly right. And I had the opportunity to visit Ukraine a couple of times mm-hmm. during the course of this war. We went as far as Odessa, down south to Nikolaev. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the ravages of this. We've seen the bombed out buildings.
Right.
We see people trying to just live their lives, people who can't get out of those areas or people who don't want to get out of those areas because it's their homes. It's where they live. And I think that something that really gets lost in the mix of all of this, of who's on this line, who's on that line, how much are we sending, is that there are people's lives, civilians that are caught in the crossfire here. And even First Lady Melania Trump bring up the fact that there are children that have been caught up in this. And hopefully by using that appeal to the civilians and to the children can be something that really breaks through this deadlock that's existed for the last few years.
Yeah, so let's fast forward to yesterday. We had Zelensky. He brought in his backup, 7 other European leaders. You know, when I woke up this morning, I was just trying to figure out, well, how did the meetings go? I'm assuming the meetings went well because Trump said, well, I'm going to, you know, set up a call with Putin and see if we can move this thing forward. What's your takeaway there?
Well, in fact, that's right. And I think that he actually cut to the chase. He said, why wait? And he cuts off the meeting in the middle. I'm not sure exactly. I think he sends the Europeans out of the room and he calls Putin right there on the spot.
Wow.
He said it was about 1 a.m. Moscow time. And he said, let's call him up, see if we can get him on the phone. Let's do it right now.
What?
This is a guy who doesn't want to wait. He moves at the speed of New York. Philly knows all about that speed. And he wants to get this deal done. And because he realizes that, he said at one point, someone in the meeting said, why don't we try to set forward a meeting with Putin next month? And he said, next month?
No.
How many people could die between now and then? You could have tens of thousands of people that have been killed between now and then. We want right now. We want as fast as possible. What do you need? Let's get it done. That's how a businessman negotiates. And you see the difference between a businessman versus this political, you know, sort of nebulous cycle where things could get done in, you know, everything gets done by committee, everything gets done by, you know, some sort of consensus, whereas he said, no, boom, 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 get him on the phone. Let's do it right now. And in fact, when I was on the plane with him, I did have just the absolute honor being able to ride on Air Force One on Friday to the summit, that we got held at the tarmac. We landed Joint Base Andrews. It's 2 a.m. There in Maryland. So we're on Joint Base Andrews and we're about ready to leave. And we thought the motorcade's about to go. We got to leave. They see the Secret Service sit down. We said, why is the Secret Service sitting down? Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt comes back and says to us, folks, we're going to be holding here for a little while. Why? President Trump is on the phone. He's speaking with a NATO leader, and he doesn't want to have to hang up the phone. So we're all going to wait on the plane until he's
Absolutely.
Done. He was still working the phones at 2 a.m. in the morning, even after all that.
Well, you mean he wasn't licking an ice cream at 8 p.m. getting ready for bedtime?
Exactly.
He was actually working?
He's working the phones. working the chains. And I'm thinking of the time difference. It must be morning over in Europe. Yeah. So he's just picking up the phone and saying, oh, good, I can call these guys.
It is.
And that was after 19, 20 hours of travel. He's still going.
It is only by the grace of God, I am convinced of it, that we've survived these past 4 years to hold on to get better leadership in office. So I'm very grateful to God. Now, let me turn to what was really important, because when I did open up Twitter yesterday and I peeked my head in, and this is right before Zelensky met with President Trump. Zelensky met in private spaces with an aide of Donald Trump, and he wore a T-shirt. And Twitter lost its mind. They were horrified that he would walk in there with a T-shirt on. And I got to thinking, don't we have bigger fish to fry? Don't we have weightier things to consider? But then I pause. Abraham Lincoln, I know, this quote that I'm about to say, but Abraham Lincoln was quoted saying, public opinion is everything. With it, you cannot fail. Without it, you cannot succeed, which begs the question, who's framing opinion? And a lot of our opinions are framed by optics. So to some people, to a lot of people, optics matter. Why was it so important that Zelensky not walk into the Oval Office with a T-shirt on?
Well, I think it's ultimately important because when you're going into the Oval Office, and the times that I've gone to the Oval, I make sure that I'm wearing a jacket, because it's about showing respect for the place you are. It's about showing respect to your host. It's about showing respect in just getting the invitation at all, and a little bit of respect and decorum for the situation and for that moment. And so when he went in there before, I think with the sort of military, almost like a PT uniform that I would wear when I was in the military, mm-hmm. Different colors maybe, but it really set a tone that certainly with people like President Trump, you look at Trump, right? He's always wearing that suit. He's always got mm-hmm. the suit on. If he's not on the golf course, he's got that suit. It's his uniform, right? It might change the tie, but that's about it. That thing is, I don't even know how many of those blue suits he has. He's got to have a lot of them. Yeah. And so he's sitting there going, why, if we're going to have this meeting talking about a peace deal, you wear a suit, you put a suit, it's not hard. And you go look at videos of President Zelensky in his career, and he's got plenty of suits.
Yeah,
he's a very well-dressed guy.
It's theatrics. So it's
not hard at all. It's about optics. It's about theatrics. It's about sending the right tone. And when you do dress well, that's something that really sends a message, I think, to the rest of the world. My wife, that's how she is. She will not let me out of the house. If I've got something with a stain on it, with a wrinkle, she says, Aunt Hall, you're going to turn right around.
Our kids
too. You're going to turn around. You're going to put something nice on, because if you're going to be on camera, someone's going to see you. We got to fix that.
And ultimately, Donald Trump sets the terms of engagement. He's the most powerful man in the world. I know Democrats' heads are exploding right now, but those are facts. And quite frankly, he's old school. And so I think that this is a litmus test for him on how serious Zelensky is. It's a litmus test for seriousness, for respect, and willingness to compromise. Now, before I leave, I got to ask you another question. Democrats in Texas have decided to get back to work. I guess they couldn't, the fact that, the Texas governor said we won't get paid unless you're in office. I think that was the straw that broke the camel back. So they are coming back in. The redistricting looks like it's going to happen. Jasmine Crockett, just horrible, is expected to lose her House seat due to this redistricting. What advice would you give her?
Well, look, Jasmine, there's lots of options out there. You could start a podcast. You could be an influencer. maybe take up music. I don't know. I hear Joy Reid just lost her job. So maybe MS Now is looking for a host, someone to fill that spot. Maybe there's an opportunity for you. But you know what? Maybe I'll offer Jasmine Crockett a job. I could use an executive assistant at Human Events Daily. Maybe if she's willing to show up for work, perhaps we can work something out.
Well, she's a chameleon, right? She's a rich suburban girl, went to a really great school, a law degree, never spoke ratchet like she is now. And now all of a sudden she's fluent in Ebonics. And it's, as a black woman, it is embarrassing. And I mean, you know, I know we hear a lot about black fatigue. Ain't nobody more tired or more fatigued of black people like Jasmine Crockett acting a nut. It's almost like a minstrel show, like a black face. It's not even real. And it's embarrassing.
You know, we see liberals do this all the time, that you never see any actual working class people go up to be this Democrat, liberal, socialist, because working class people tend to be focused on putting money on the table, putting food on the table, get money in their pocket. That's what working class people care about. But these limousine liberals, they come up and they have to, like AOC is another one of them, and they have to pretend. They have to pretend, oh, I'm from the Bronx, you know, I'm from here, I'm from there. No, you're not. You're not at all. You're not working class. You know, you didn't grow up like that. You didn't grow up feeling hungry. You didn't grow up with any of this stuff. And that's why all of the answers that you come up with, these crazy government programs, never actually work, because you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, they have no idea. And we have
Talk about theater.
I know, right? I mean, it's all about optics. It's all about theater. It's not about policies. But we have real problems. And I'm telling you, it really pisses me off when I see these black people running out here acting like, oh, well, this is what it means to be down. No, I've been black all my life. I don't know anybody who behaves like Jasmine Crockett, because it's embarrassing. Not to say there aren't people who behave like that, but I've been black, like I said, all my life. And I don't know anybody on a daily basis who behaves or even talks like that.
No, and imagine showing up to work and that's your job interview. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
I think the American people deserve better. And I think actual working class people that want something better from their government, and certainly deserve better from their government than what she's providing, they deserve better representation. And hopefully this redistricting will be able to get them some.
I love it. Jack Posobiec, thank you so much, sir, for dropping in. I appreciate you.
God bless, Kathy, and God bless everyone in the WPHT audience.
Awesome. Here we go. I'm a bee.
Hey there. I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introduce y'all. I know y'all, and she needs no introduction at this point, because the girl has seriously blown up. Trisha McLaughlin. Hey, Trisha.
Kathy, you are the best. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, Trisha is the DHS Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs. Do you have another role also, Trisha, or should I just go with that one?
No, just go with that. It's so good to be on with you, Kathy.
Absolutely. I just love it. We were out there with Vivek Ramaswamy, the both of us, just kind of, you know, a little green, not too green, but out there doing what we do. And now to see you speaking what the rest of us are thinking and doing it so well, going into liberal territory and taking hostages. I love it every time I see you out there.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. I learned from the best. I learned from you, and I learned from Vivek Ramaswamy. So we had such a good team back then, and hey, we'll reunite sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I know I have you for a few moments, so let me just get right into it, because I think all of us were just glued to what we saw. I saw it on social media. I don't know where you guys saw it. But when we all saw the deadly semi-truck crash in Florida caused by an Indian illegal alien who came into this country illegally, then got a commercial driver's license in California because, you know, Democrat policies. And what really rubbed me raw was one of your posts on Twitter that you put out, Gavin Newsom's office responded to it. And it was so demeaning, calling DHS Secretary Kristi Noem a cowgirl with a K, a cowgirl who's asleep at the rein, and asking why she didn't revoke the CDL license that the state of California actually issued. And that response to me was just so unserious that the lives of those three Americans, they would still be alive today if not for Democrat policies in their sanctuary state of California giving an illegal a CDL license. And I just felt that to be, I don't know. I took it personal, like a that could have been my family on the freeway. And he was just so unserious about it.
Completely. They just really were disregarding the fact that three Americans, innocent American lives were lost because of their policies. And under the Biden administration, that's when that work authorization was given to that criminal illegal alien. And the fact of the matter is that there should be no driver's license at all, whether it be commercial driver's license, which, of course, as you know, Kathy, is a huge responsibility, having an 18-wheeler. In most states, there's incredibly stringent standards. But that's something that Department of Transportation under Sean Duffy and Secretary Noem, they're working together on what the heck is going on in these sanctuary jurisdictions. And not only the fact that they're giving these typical driver's license to illegal aliens, which God knows what they're doing with those, but the fact that they can rain down terror on our streets and on our highways and put American lives at risk by driving these monster trucks, these 18-wheelers, and hopefully not killing more Americans. It has to stop, Kathy.
You know, I mean, and again, I felt this to be a personal assault because we value life in this country, or at least there's still a majority of us, a good number of us who still value life. And then in this particular illegal Indian truck driver, there's a camera on the inside and he was just emotionless. Mm-hmm. He just stood there. And I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way. And then to add salt to injury was Governor Newsom's office basically, you know, responding to your Twitter post of information, with just being very unserious. I don't know. I just felt like that was a personal assault.
Oh, I completely agree. They were so dismissive of the fact that three lives were lost. And I agree that criminal legal alien from India, he seems to lack any compassion, any basic humanity for the fact that he just caused his reckless driving, caused this brutal wreck that would eventually claim the lives of these three people. It's sickening. It's gut-wrenching. And you do think, how can you not think, what if this happened to me? What if this happened to my family or somebody I loved? And unfortunately, because of these policies, it could, and it has to stop. They have to stop playing Russian roulette with the lives of Americans.
Oh, perfectly said, right? And so, and that's a great segue, because we've gone from the most unsecure border in the history of America. I don't know if that's a fact, but it felt like it when I saw millions of people just walking through our border unscathed. So we've gone from that to the most secure border in American history. Donald Trump, you know, he's comical when he says, I don't know if I should believe these numbers, but a liberal leaning outlet is the one who produces these numbers. And they say zero people have crossed our border. This could have always been done. Why do Democrats hate our country so much? Why did we allow 20 million people to just walk right through our borders and we don't even know who they are or what they're up to? And now within 7 months, we've gone to zero.
Yeah, it's remarkable, especially everything that they threw at Donald Trump. They threw the kitchen sink at him, injunction after injunction to try and prevent us from keeping the southern border safe. But it's, the proof is in the pudding. We didn't need a new legislation to secure our border. We just needed a new president, one that took law and order seriously. And that's going to, you know, protect so many lives. Fentanyl trafficking is down 54% at our southern border. And that's going to only go up, Kathy, because now that we don't have these tens of thousands of illegal aliens trying to flow through our border every day and making our border patrol officers stuck at these processing centers, now they can be out in the field. They can be grabbing and arresting those drug mules, those drug traffickers, those human traffickers, and making sure they don't enter American communities.
You know, I mean, I was actually thinking about the sex trafficking of little children and of women, of little boys. And Yes, because this wasn't just about illegals coming in. It was a lot of nefarious, deep, dark, sinister things that were going on at the border, but then pushed out through our nation. And we have gone from 20 million at a hard stop to zero. This is a good thing. And why are they fighting us so hard on this?
Kathy, God knows. I think that they're rudderless. It's really disturbing that they would allow this kind of humanitarian crisis happen at the border. But I think that there's another layer even to this. Mm-hmm. When the optics started getting so bad for Biden and Kamala Harris as they started to enter election season, they did start to secure that border. Mm-hmm. But instead, what they did was create a parole program that allowed about 500,000 people completely unvetted. We're talking about terrorists. We're talking about gang members. We're talking about convicted criminals, murderers, rapists. They gave them the rubber stamp to legally enter this country. So that's part of what the Trump administration is doing as well, is we're trying to get these people who the Biden administration let into this country legally out of here.
So because they were in an election season, in order to bring down the numbers of illegals crossing the border, they decided to make the illegals legal, and then they moved to a different category.
Yep. It's like making murder legal and saying, oh, violent crime is down.
Wow.
No, it's not.
Wow. Speaking of violent crime being down, D.C., girl. I mean, I just had Congressman Scott Perry on, and I was like, are you tired of winning? I mean, D.C. right now is quite dead quiet, actually. Pun intended. No mobs terrorizing citizens. No violent street fights. No one hit by a stray bullet. Is Trump takeover of D.C. policy, police station working? Absolutely. Is the mob terrified? Absolutely. Are they afraid? Good. but you still have people, Democrats, fighting it. Why?
It makes no sense. I think it's some degree Trump derangement syndrome, but there is such a vibe shift here, Kathy. It feels so different. People are walking around with their families, going to museums, going out to dinner, things that I think people were worried about doing before. Just in 7 days, carjackings are down 83%. Robberies are down 46%. I mean, this is real action.
Yeah, you know, finally, law and order is cool again. accountability is great again. And I was looking at a report that, I mean, like, when did you guys start doing this?
It was just about 7 days ago.
7 days ago. So on this past Saturday, that's probably like maybe, you know, 3 days in, more than 300 dangerous criminals had been taken off the streets.
It's pretty remarkable. And I mean, so ICE, CBP, Secret Service are all under DHS jurisdiction, and they've been assisting with these efforts as well, and not just immigration enforcement, but also they have legal authority to carry out arrests for criminality. And the people, the monsters that we've picked up in just these 7 days in Washington, D.C., we're talking about pedophiles, MS-13 gang members, convicted rapists, disgusting, depraved individuals who have been walking around illegally on Washington, D.C. streets, and Bowser has done nothing about it. And thank God President Trump took over when he did.
Now, last question. Was there a final straw that made Donald Trump said, enough, I'm taking over?
You know, I think that there was by 1,000 cuts. There were those two young Jewish students who the embassy workers and who were killed. And then there was an intern out of Congress who was also shot and killed by a stray bullet just a few months ago. And then, of course, a Doge employee who actually is detailed to DHS now. He was attacked a couple of weeks ago, brutally attacked by teenagers. So
I think it
was time action was taken.
Trisha McLaughlin, thank you so much, my friend, DHS Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs. Girl, you working hard, and I appreciate it.
It's an honor, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Blessings. All right, guys. Look, we are moving. Are we almost at the bottom of an hour? Look at that. One more hour to go. Call me, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. We're going to slow it down a little bit on the back end. So I want to hear from you guys. Give me a call, 855-839-1210. Guys, listen, we are, I'm going to go right on back over to break in a few minutes. But let's just, you know, we've been talking about a lot, right? I know I've been moving fast and giving y'all a lot of information. But this is what it's all about. I live by that Abraham Lincoln quote that public opinion is everything. With it, you cannot fail. Without it, you cannot succeed. Which then begs the question, who's forming opinions out here? And a lot of it is optics. A lot of it is algorithms. A lot of it are these influencers. A lot of it are people like Ratchet Jasmine Crockett. I'm going to just call her Blackface because that's what she is. Do I have time to take Martin real quick?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay, Martin, hey, what's up?
I don't know why.
Well, it sounds like he's busy right now, so we'll get him after the break.
I can't hear you, Martin. Martin, hang on. I'll pick you up after the break. I try to bring you in. Do we got to go to break right now? Okay, guys, see y'all on the other side. That number is 855-839-1210. Martin, hang on. I'll get you when I come back.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.